Let's talk about the team that they will be hosting. 425 Northwest Stadium in Landover. It is the 4-2 Chicago Bears from the NFC North, a team that came in here about a year ago and absolutely wiped the surface clean with Ron Rivera's Bears. Very different team at this point. A man who I've been a big fan of because we worked sort of together. I don't know how to exactly describe it. On the Score in Chicago, longtime radio and television host and good dude, Lawrence Holmes is with us. He hosts the afternoon show on the Score 670 in Chicago, which you can hear on the Odyssey app with another good dude, Matty Spiegel. And he's nice enough to join us here on the BetQL guest hotline. Hello, Lawrence. How are you, pal?
WrestleMania. Let's get it.
My guy, I appreciate you making some time for us. How you been, first of all? It's been far too long. How you been?
I've been really good, man.
Good.
Everything is great. I started this new show with our guy Spiegs a little over a month ago, and it's been going great. So, and you know, the weather in Chicago has been pretty perfect so far.
How do you deal with Spiegs on a day in, day out basis? Because I mean, he's a nice guy and all, but you know, he's a little bit he can be tough to. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. I wanted to bust his chops. I mean, as you know, I do 3 hours a day, sometimes by myself, 3 hours a day, sometimes with a rotating co-host. I mean, these shows can be war zones sometimes. So,
can be.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm glad you guys are having fun. Make sure you guys listen between 3 to 7 our time, 2 to 6 Central Time on 670 The Score, and more importantly, on the Odyssey app. Check out what the guys are doing there. Not only Lawrence and Matt Spiegel, but also the whole station if you want to get a bit. And I'll be a guest with Steve Rosenblum tomorrow afternoon. Anyway, Lawrence, wanted to ask you this. I don't know what you've been able to pay attention to right here while you're, I'm sure, busy getting ready for your show, but it looks now like Jaden Daniels might be able to play, whereas I was kind of, you know, essentially ruling him out before he practiced today. How much do you think that changes things for the Chicago Bears? Because I'm sure they were preparing for both he and Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be, you know how it is. Like, now we're talking about final, like, walkthrough stuff on a Friday practice. So I'm not sure that it's going to change much for them. The way that Eric Washington, their defensive coordinator, put it yesterday is that they know, because Mariota is so good with that system regardless, and because he was taking first team reps early on, that they're treating it the way that they would treat it, a starter. They're not looking like, oh, here's a guy who's a backup. No, he's made a lot of starts. He's thrown for a lot of yards in this league. So what I've seen from the Bears is them trying to prepare for both as much as they can. But Washington did say that he doesn't feel like the offense changes that much from one guy to the other.
Yeah. I think that's right on, because we've been saying that essentially, you know, the whole offseason, but specifically since last Sunday when he got hurt early in the Carolina game. So I think he's right on there. All right, interesting. So, and that's kind of like the perspective that I thought he would give and they would give. And obviously, I'm sure, again, there's little different things that they've zeroed in on one or the other. What do you think overall, then, their attack mindset will be? Will it be, hey man, one good hit, one big blitz, one big rush could knock Jaden Daniels out if he's there? Or the same for Marcus Mariota, who has been susceptible, A, to blitzing, B, to pressure, holding onto the ball too long, and also getting injured himself?
No doubt about it. I don't know if that's how they'll look at it. Is it like trying to get one good lick on him? Usually when defenses try to do stuff like that, they fall out of what they've been successful at doing. If it happens, it happens. If Montez Sweat is able to get a free run at someone, or they call a well-timed blitz, so be it. But I think that they have to, when you look at what the Bears defense has done, it kind of hasn't mattered who the quarterback has been over the last 12 games. Even Matthew Stafford, they were able to shut down. So they come into this game with a whole lot of confidence that no matter who the quarterback is, that they'll have the right plan for them.
Lawrence Holmes, our guest from 670 The Score in Chicago. Great legacy radio station. You can listen to it on the Odyssey app. He is the afternoon co-host there with Matt Spiegel, who occasionally you hear on promos and with Odyssey podcasts and all that good stuff. Make sure you check those guys out. All right, so Montez Sweat, you just brought him up. He obviously was drafted here, played here, did well here, got paid there, and was a monster down the stretch. What have you seen out of him this year now that he's been paid, now that he's had some time to settle down? Where is he at?
He makes things easier for the rest of this defense. Like, they've been trying to grow. At the three technique spot, Jervon Dexter has been their project over the last season and a half. And with Sweat, it allows him more opportunities for one-on-ones. It allows him more opportunities to learn from one of the best pass rushers in the league. So Montez has been an invaluable part to what the Bears defense is doing. Honestly, I'm shocked that they didn't go get him another end that could be more consistent and you could match with him, and maybe they'll still do that as the trade deadline comes up in the NFL. But he has been everything you could have possibly hoped for when you made the trade for him last year.
I know they tried, right? I remember hearing a bunch of stuff on that they tried to get somebody to pair with him. So, I mean, clearly that won't happen for this game, which I guess is good for the Commanders. But if you can find a way to neutralize Montez Sweat, and that's easier said than done, what do the Bears do to then generate the pass rush?
Matt Eberflus would prefer to get home with four.
Mm-hmm.
He will blitz, but the injuries on the Bears' defensive end lead to questions about that, too.
Right.
The availability of Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon, who I know this is going to sound weird to say about a nickel corner, he might be the most important player on their defense because he can do so many different things. He's excellent against the run. He's good on two-way goes on receivers mm-hmm. in the slot. He's an excellent blitzer and great tackler. So the fact that they haven't had full practices from those two guys, and with Brisker being in the concussion protocol for the last couple of weeks, that changes kind of the elements that they can do defensively. But last week, and it was Jacksonville, so you have to make sure you put that
sure.
that caveat on it, they ran out there with their depth in the defensive back room and shut down Trevor Lawrence. So they have a group of DBs and a depth of DB that is pretty impressive. And I'm looking forward to seeing what it does, not even necessarily against like McLaurin in the pass game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited because the Commanders' run game has been so good on the spread it out and run it
yep.
type thing with this against this Bears defense.
Yeah, no doubt. And also Tyreek Stevenson, their other starting corner, is, you know, and everybody knows how good Jalen Johnson is, but Tyreek Stevenson is also banged up. So they might be without one, two, three starter. We'll have to see how things play out. Lawrence Holmes from The Score in Chicago is joining us. You can follow him on Twitter or on X at Lawrence W. Holmes, at Lawrence W. Holmes. All right, so let's turn the switch or flip the switch, I should say, to the offense. And of course, the big story is Caleb Williams coming home here to Washington, D.C. Just based on what you know, do you think that'll have any impact, effect? He doesn't seem like an overly emotional guy, but, he played here. He was a high school star here. It's got to hit you some way, somehow, different than, I don't know, playing in London against the stupid Jaguars.
Yeah, you would imagine that, but he didn't seem to want to bite on that
mm-hmm.
when we were discussing it. And I guess he said he's only been back to the DMV like twice since he left for Oklahoma.
Hmm.
So I don't know.
Maybe he doesn't care at all.
Yeah, it's possible that he doesn't care at all. It also could be he's hiding his emotions
yeah.
because he doesn't want that to be a thing. He's been terrific, man. Like, he is what a lot of people said he was going to be as far as his ability to talk about things. And we've seen growth like actual linear growth from the second game of the season to where they're at now. I think the communication with offensive coordinator Shane Waldron has been upgraded. Those guys kind of took it upon themselves after the Indianapolis game to, to work to get on the same page. The story of the week last week where we found out that Waldron doesn't have a script. Like, it doesn't have a
first 15. Yeah.
And so they ended up working on that because the captains of the team went to Eberflus and Eberflus told them to go to Waldron. And since that moment, we've seen growth. Now, you have to look at it and give it context. They were playing against the Rams. They played Carolina. They played Jacksonville. Those teams are not great. And two of them are really bad.
Right.
So you have to kind of say, all right, is this real or imagined? And ideally, what you see Sunday is proof of that in one way or the other.
All right, specific to how they've improved this offense, I mean, obviously the running game has come alive, and DeAndre Swift, a big part of that. Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert can help as well. I'm trying to remember what happened in last year's game. I know DeAndre Swift was obviously not there, but
well,
I remember
what happened in last year's game was DJ Moore.
Yeah, right, right. But they had a pretty sneaky run game. I remember too in that game, like a bunch of third and eights where they would run a draw and they would get a first down on it because they were probably trying to compensate for DJ Moore. But clearly, it seems like that's how this offense kind of turned, and maybe Caleb settled. Is that more a byproduct of again increased emphasis? Is that a byproduct of the communication that you were talking about that got maybe sorted out? Or is that a byproduct of crappy opponents?
Well, I don't want to believe that it's just crappy opponents. And maybe that's wish casting. Mm-hmm. But I think that there has been real growth in like where Caleb's eyes are from play to play, them figuring out, hey, all right, this is how I can get DJ Moore the ball. This is how I can get Keenan Allen the ball. This is how I can get Cole Kmet the ball. This is how we can get DeAndre Swift going. Like, they use him a lot in the screen game, and his run after catch has been really high. So I think that there is them getting to know each other, and like any, like I'm sure the same thing's going on with Jaden Daniels, where it's how to get guys involved in games. And maybe not – maybe Caleb realizing this is the NFL. Some of the hero stuff that he had to do at USC, he doesn't have to do here. That he's got guys that can make plays for him. And sometimes taking the layup is the right move, even though his mindset is touchdown to checkdown, that those checkdowns can make a big difference in how your day goes.
No doubt, no doubt. Well, and that's a good place to kind of wrap this up is if – right? Because the way I think Washington at least controls Chicago's offense, obviously, again, if you can control the run, yes, that's a huge thing, but is forcing maybe, Caleb to either feel a lot of pressure and hurry, harass, what have you, or and hope that turns into bad throws, bad reads, bad decisions, and turnovers, right? Is that basically what you would say you're most worried about? If things go sideways, it would be because of turnovers or bad, irrational decisions, or is it something else?
Yeah, pressure. That's the question of how can the Bears handle pressure? They've had some O-line injuries as well. And early on in the season, protection calls were an issue, and you can decide whether that's on the offensive line, if that's on the offensive coordinator, or if that's on the quarterback. Mm. All of those things are fair to wonder. If they protect them, it'll be a shootout. Like he can make throws, and he's made some throws that have your mouth like agape.
Yeah.
And he seems to be on track with his guys now. When you put pressure on him though, early on in the season, that's when you saw him maybe play a little bit outside of himself.
Interesting. One last thing, and then I'll let you go. Lawrence Holmes, Score in Chicago with us for another moment. Having lived there for 6 years and being a part of that fabric, but it's been a long time since I lived there. I recently visited, so I got a little taste. But I know it's a great baseball town, obviously. But the Bears are still the Bears, right? And this at 4-2 with Caleb and the offensive improvements and the defensive, right? The Bears are still like the, you know, the team, the Bears, if you will, right? When it comes down to the Chicago sports team?
The Bears run this town.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like autumn day in Chicago after the Bears have won.
Yeah.
It is the great unifier in our city, because obviously there's Cubs and White Sox. Strangely enough, there's a weird rivalry between the Blackhawks and the Bulls, which makes no sense at all. Hmm. But the Bears are the great unifier in town. And so people are trying to figure out, is this real? Is this thing that we're seeing in the toughest division in football this year, is it a real thing? And if it turns out it's real, man, this place is already ready. Like, they've been waiting for Caleb for a really long time.
Yeah.
And now, if it turns out that he might be the guy, it's going to be crazy here.
It'll also help build that new stadium on Lakeshore Drive or wherever the hell they're going to build.
That part I'm not sure about.
Okay.
Because, I mean, if the Chiefs can win three Super Bowls,
that's true.
Their new stadium turned down.
Fair point.
Yeah. I don't think that is an easy road to victory for the Bears in that regard.
No.
That's actually going to be the toughest battle that they fight all year.
I got you. We're fighting it already here too. So I know the game. Well, great to catch up with you, my friend. I appreciate you. And we'll send everybody again, of course, to listen to your show on the Odyssey app and everything in between. And when they're in Chicago, but I appreciate you making some time for us. Have a good rest of the weekend. All right.
All right, you too, man. Thanks so much. Great to talk with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. That is Lawrence Holmes, longtime radio and television voice on The Score in Chicago. Make sure you listen to him, Matt Spiegel, from 3 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 6 Central on the Odyssey app. Go to The Score, 670 in Chicago.